20th Century Fox, a News Corporation company. In a flowing illustration, a shadowy figure lights a cigarette, runs away, then takes off as a bird. The logo for Scott Free. Fox 2000 Pictures presents a Scott Free Deuce 3 production. A Curtis Hanson film. Cameron Diaz. Toni Collette. Shirley MacLaine. You pretend you're high. In her shoes. A woman is carrying an armful of files through an office. Elsewhere, faces unseen, a woman in killer black heels is joined in a toilet cubicle by a man. Also starring Mark Feuerstein. The woman in the office bumps into a colleague and drops her files. While the sexy blonde in the toilet and her lover start kissing passionately, the woman in the office's handsome male colleague helps her to pick up the files. As the blonde peels off her dress and strokes her slim, toned body, the woman in the office stands rooted to the spot while her colleague brushes her hair off her face. Produced by Ridley Scott, Lisa Elzey, Curtis Hanson and Carol Fenelon. Based upon the novel by Jennifer Weiner, screenplay by Susanna Grant. Directed by Curtis Hanson.
Your 10-year high school reunion. Oh, everybody wants to make a good impression, and I was making mine on Ted? Tad? Whatever.
The blonde woman turns around, then vomits, missing the toilet bowl.
I know, not exactly most likely to succeed, but it's not like I had a law degree to brag about, or a Rittenhouse Square apartment, or a fancy job. Oh. Or a job, period.
Is that it? Yes, baby, that's it.
The woman from the office is sitting up in bed, watching her male colleague sleep.
There are women, thinner women, who have lace bras, silk thongs, things designed to excite a man. Thong would look ridiculous on me. I wear cotton briefs. My life is about working long hours, planning trips I never take, and settling for love found on the pages of romance novels.
She switches on a camera.
And because things like this never happen to me, the lawyer in me wants proof.
Gingerly, she holds the camera up and over his body and takes a photo with a flash. She turns to check he's still asleep, then carefully gets out of the bed and carries the phone through her apartment to take the call.
This is Rose Feller.
Who is this?
My name's Todd. I'm here with your sister.
Things like this, on the other hand, happen all the time.
Rose pulls up outside the high school where the reunion is taking place. Wearing glasses and with her reddy brown hair scraped back in a ponytail, she scans the reception room, which is empty, apart from the cleaner tidying up, then moves through to the bar. Something catches her eye. Killer black heels sticking out from a sofa, attached to a pair of slim, shapely legs, and her blonde sister Maggie crushed out with a burning cigarette in her hand.
Those are my shoes. You know, it is actually possible to attend a reunion and not wind up passed out on the bathroom floor.
...1994 called it wants its hair scrunchie back.
Oh. How are the fashionable girls wearing their hair these days when they pick up their drunk sisters in the middle of the night?
Drive.
At her house, Maggie struggles with the key.
Shit.
Inside, a woman is coming down the stairs.
Donna. Donna. Donna, 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 Donna.
You're drunk.
Shh. Don't let Sadell know.
I was very clear. You can only stay here if there was none of your nonsense.
Excuse me, I'm gonna go to bed.
And throw up all over my white carpets? Absolutely not. Take your things and go.
Where is she supposed to go?
I don't care. Take her home with you. No way.
Gee, you two really know how to make a girl feel special.
I want to talk to Dad about this.
Your father's asleep. My Marsh and her husband are coming for brunch tomorrow. He needs his rest.
I'm sure if you were given the choice of resting up for your child or talking to his own, he'd choose me.
Did you just raise your eyebrow? I can't tell. It doesn't move anymore.
Their stepmom slams the door.
My Marsh is coming for a brunch. Stuff her anorexic face.
Maggie notices a man's clothes on Rose's floor.
What is this? Rose Feller. Is there a man in this house? A human?
Maybe.
Oh.
No, give me that.
No.
They wrestle over the man's photo ID.
Yummy.
Yummy. He's cute. Who is he?
None of your business.
Well, I for one.
She picks up a bra.
I'm shocked. And appalled.
Shh. Don't make it. Shut up.
Rose fetches bedding.
Life doesn't have to be this hard, Mag. Just prepared a little, you know? Maybe went back to school?
All right. Because that worked so well the first time.
I mean the literacy place.
Retard you.
I just went back, finished up there. Maybe it'll help you figure out what you're good at.
I know what I'm good at.
Besides that, you have so much potential.
You do realize I'm drunk, don't you?
She collapses on the sofa, and Rose puts a blanket over her.
Remember Honey Bun? How long do we have him for?
A day.
That was a good day.
Yeah.
After tucking Maggie in, Rose tenderly moves her hair off her face, then leaves her to sleep. Morning. Rose's lover steps out of the bedroom in his boxer shorts. He listens at the bathroom door, then raises his hand to knock.
Oh, good morning.
Is that English? Oh, Jim. This is my sister, Maggie. She just dropped by last night to visit.
Right.
Rose and Jim watch Maggie return to her bed in a skimpy t-shirt.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now dressed for work, Rose and Jim leave the apartment.
I'm sorry about that.
It's not a problem. Hey.
He kisses her on the lips, then sets off with his arm around her. He's holding some cash.
I sworn I had some 20s here.
Maggie pulls some 20s from her knickers, then counts them. A note with "Don't touch anything" has been left next to Rose's jewellery. Maggie screws it up.
Okay.
Another note on the closet door reads, "I mean it." Maggie ignores it. Especially not these have been stuck next to a pair of shoes. Maggie tosses the note, then claps excitedly. She helps herself to several pairs of Rose's immaculately stored expensive shoes, then sits down to try them on. After scarlet peep-toe high heels with bows on the front, she tries on a pair of pink stilettos.
Shirt.
Wearing wedges with ankle ties, she goes to the fridge and finds a newspaper with certain job ads highlighted.
Where does she get the time to do this?
Okay. I love you.
She opens a tub of ice cream, pours milk into it, then spoons some into her mouth.
All right, Rose, what do you got?
Ignoring Rose's red arrows, Maggie becomes transfixed by an ad for MTV auditions, and she spills milk on the shoes.
Shit!
There's a man in this picture?
Oh, shut up. I had technical difficulties. Trust me, look, he's gorgeous and smart and totally smoldering. Can you make that a full pound of the hot sopressata?
You got it.
Office romances can go very bad.
Well, they can also go very good. You know, 30% of married women met their husbands at work.
Where did you get that statistic?
I made it up.
All extracurricular activity happens off campus, his place or yours.
His. Mine's a little crowded these days. Maggie.
No.
Just till she finds a job.
You say that like that's something she's remotely capable of. Why do you let her do this to you?
Because she's my sister.
Maggie steps up for the audition wearing a pair of hot pink patent shoes.
All right, what's your name?
Maggie Mayfeller. What's yours?
Some of you who had plans for the weekend are unfortunately going to have to cancel. The settlement discussions for the Donaldson case have broken down completely, so we'll need to start gearing up for trial. Simon, you should put together a deposition schedule today, and Alan, you should start drafting a summary judgment motion. I'll need to see that before we file it, so you'll need to get it to me by Thursday, okay? Let's get to it.
Listen, I'm supposed to go to Chicago to do some recruiting interviews next weekend, but it's my kid's birthday.
Okay.
Can you go for me?
Chicago?
Yeah.
Cold there.
Oh, come on. I promised I'd be the clown.
I don't know. Maybe if I can drag an associate along to help with the interview so I don't fall behind. Feller? Any interest? Chicago?
Oh, gee. I don't know. I mean, like you said, it's pretty cold there.
Buy some mittens.
Rose leaves the meeting and smiles.
Rose, your sister. Guess who's in New York waiting for her call back to be the next MTV VJ?
Well, out of curiosity, how much did it cost you to get up there?
Who cares? I'll make it back.
All right, when MTV hires you, it makes you a great big star.
Would it kill you to be supportive? I mean, would that just send you into anaphylactic shock or something?
Anaphylactic, Maggie, not anaphylactic.
Maggie Mayfeller.
Have to go.
That's me.
You're next.
Welcome back, Maggie May.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Now you see the screen with the words on it. Just read what it says and just look into the camera and give it that personality. Just let it shine through. Okay, whenever you're ready.
It's Friday afternoon on...
Okay, let's try again. Just relax.
It's Friday afternoon on TRL and...
Take it back.
It's Friday afternoon on TRL and later today...
You okay, Maggie May?
She nods. It's nighttime. Rose wakes up in bed at the sound of her apartment door being opened.
Well, are you famous yet?
Maggie just walks past.
A position in retail. Employment history?
Maggie turns up the TV.
What was your last job?
Lucky Jeans for 3 weeks.
Why'd it end?
Some crazy bitch with a coupon.
The coupon says 15%. 15% of the total. 15% of 42. Do the math. What's your problem?
Okay, well, if anyone asks, just say it wasn't challenging enough. And before that was a restaurant, right? The Canal House?
Maggie and a friend drunkenly remove the C from the restaurant sign, leaving behind anal.
Yeah, before that.
Before that, the gap. Before that, the limited. Wanamaker's fragrance, Wanamaker's accessories.
Oh, come on, you really don't want to do this right now, do you?
No, but I also don't want you on my couch for the next 3 months. I'll let you do my resume if you let me do your makeup.
Forget it.
Why?
Well, at some point today I have to face the world and I'd rather not do it looking like a $20 hooker.
Oh, come on, I promise. You still look like you, just better. Let's go pick out an outfit for inspiration. Shoes. I don't have...
Shoes!
You know, you don't even wear most of these. Shoes like these should not be locked in a closet. They should be living a life of scandal and passion and getting screwed in an alleyway by a billionaire while his frigid wife waits in the limo. Thinking that he just went back into the bar to get his cell phone. These are cute, too.
Please tell me you just made that up.
Look, if you're not gonna wear them, don't buy them. Leave them for somebody who's gonna get something out of them.
I get something out of them. When I feel bad, I like to treat myself. Clothes never look any good. Food just makes me fatter. Shoes always fit.
It's nighttime, and Maggie leads Rose into a trendy club, working the room with her confident smile. Rose follows hesitantly behind. Her makeup is all done, and her hair's tied up in a French roll. They sit at the bar.
Don't slouch.
What's up for you, ladies?
I think I'm gonna just take a minute.
Thanks. I thought I was getting a drink out of this.
Patience.
Idly twirling her necklace, Maggie casts her eye around the room, catching a guy looking at her from a nearby booth and gives him a flirty smile. Rose turns to see who she's looking at.
Ew, Maggie, no!
Maggie tosses a pair of cigarettes on the bar. The guy sidles over and waits till Rose turns round to look at him.
How would you ladies like to join us for something wet?
It's a vagina.
You know what? Sidel's right. You're completely obscene.
Why? Because I say vagina? Michael, I don't know what's wrong with your girls. My Masha never uses the word vagina.
No, my Masha doesn't even have a vagina.
Oh, my Masha has a vagina, all right. But my Masha's vagina is made of solid 24-karat gold.
My Masha's vagina is so perfect. It's in a museum.
The diner waitress isn't amused.
What can I get you girls?
We'll have 2 stacks of whole wheat honey pancakes and a side of bacon, please.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh, and are you hiring?
I'll bring an application.
My Masha never eats pancakes. That's why my Masha still wears a What?
I can't believe it just did that.
Did what?
Are you hiring? God, Rose, we were having fun for once. It's an opportunity. To do what? To work the graveyard shift serving pancakes to cops and whores and drunks.
I think you should work so you don't have to mooch off me for everything.
What are you talking about? I just got us 2 rounds of drinks.
No, Cuervo Carl got the drinks and only because he hoped you'd sleep with him.
Well, I didn't.
You need a job, Maggie. There's a whole world of commerce out there that has nothing to do with sex. Where people actually make money without seducing anyone?
Obviously, or you'd starve.
You're not gonna look like this forever, you know? Eventually, you'll be older. And then all the men who foot your bill now will be buying drinks for girls half your age. And what are you gonna do then? Well, you better think of something, because middle-aged tramps aren't cute. They're pathetic.
Fine.
What are you doing? Sit down, Meg.
car's here, Miss Feller.
Rose checks her hair in the mirror behind the reception desk at work, then smiles at the doorman on her way out.
Thank you.
A driver opens the car door, and she sees a man sitting in the back. But it's not Jim, it's her colleague, Simon.
Hey. Danvers got busy, sent me instead. Almond croissant, still warm.
Maggie walks into an upmarket store with a copy of her CV and goes up to an assistant. Still clutching her CVs, she walks past a shoe shop, then enters a store selling makeup. Next, she walks into a clothes boutique and turns on her smile.
Hi.
Crossing a street, she slips on the snow and breaks the heel of a shoe. She hobbles back to her car, flings her CVs on the back seat, then takes a pair of flat sheepskin boots from the footwell. As she pulls off the heels to change them, she notices a help wanted sign in the window of a pet grooming salon across the street, then slams the car door with a look of determination. A dog is being shampooed.
You know about anal glands?
What?
Squeeze.
Ew.
Oh, you get used to it. Grab yourself an apron. You got all sizes.
Sorry. Hello, Sadal. No, I can't come right now. Look, I'll get there when I get there, okay? Thank you. Stepmother.
You can put it all in the basement. I need this space. I'm converting it to a nursery for my Marsha's baby.
She's pregnant?
She will be very soon.
Hey, Daddy.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
I thought I heard your voice. Mm-hmm. What brings you here?
I'm being evicted.
Are you going to wear that, Michael? Because if you're not, you should go change. We're already late.
Mustn't be late.
Mm-mm.
Stick around, Maggie. Have dinner with us.
Mm, tempting.
Yeah.
Oh, try not to burn the house down.
Maggie enters her dad and Sadell's bedroom, where a photo of a woman with long, curly brown hair smiles out at her from a picture frame. She takes some cash out of a drawer, slips it in her pocket, then makes a beeline for a jewelry box, where she finds more cash to steal. She sees more framed photos of the woman on the side.
Don't look at me like that, my Marsha.
Moving on to a study, Maggie sits down at the desk, then rifles around the drawers. She pulls out some files, then accidentally drops a couple on the floor.
Shit.
A pile of envelopes fall out, and she picks them up. They're all addressed to her and her sister. She picks one out addressed to herself and opens it. It's a 7th birthday card with a $5 bill inside. The money falls out in her hand. Then she reads the inscription. Dear Maggie, happy birthday, love Grandma and Grandpa. She opens another, which is a Valentine's card from the same woman and has another $5 bill inside. Rose is watching an old movie in bed.
How do you stop loving somebody when they stop loving you?
Simon's at the door.
We are within walking distance to three of the best restaurants in the city.
I've already eaten.
Yeah, Greece is not a food group, feller.
Bon appetit.
She closes the door in his face.
Okay, I'm not gonna start with your butt first, okay? I'm gonna wait for us to get to know each other a little better. All right, here we go.
Maggie showers a pooch.
Okay.
She squeezes out too much shampoo.
Oh! Shit.
Here we go.
As she rubs in the shampoo, the tiny dog becomes engulfed in a huge cloud of soapy suds. After trying to rinse it off, she picks up the dog, then goes to transfer it to the next sink along. The showerhead spurts up. The dog shakes its coat.
Truce.
Later, Maggie steps out of the salon and locks the door behind her. When she turns towards the street, she frowns, looks both ways in a panic, then comes down the steps onto the pavement.
Damn it!
They got you too, huh?
What?
They tow on Saturdays.
Great. Do you know where they take the cars?
Yeah. It's this impound lot down on South Street.
You know, I'm parked around the corner. I'm taking him. I'd be glad to take you too, if you want.
Yeah, that would be great.
You know, are we in a rush? Because I could stand going for a drink.
Sure.
Cool. There it is. What's your name?
Maggie.
Hey, Grant. Nice to meet you. Hey, I'm Tim.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice way to end your day.
Yeah. My sister would kill me if she knew I got her car towed.
Nighttime, and Maggie's riding in a truck sandwiched between Grant and Tim. When Grant nuzzles her neck, she brushes him off with a smile. Then he whispers something in her ear, and her smile fades.
There.
They stop at a gate for a Philadelphia Parking Authority impound. A security man comes out of his kiosk, then slides open the gate for them.
We're in Mike Flynn.
All right, go ahead.
They drive into the lot.
Let's go.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
So thanks for the ride. Thanks for the drinks and the fun. And we'll see you guys later.
Well, I mean, wait. Hang on. Maybe we can go do something. You know, it's early still.
Okay, actually. I'm just going to go.
Yeah, but you can't just take the car. You got to pay for it. What are you doing? Hey, wait up. Wait.
Man, leave it alone.
Grant slaps Maggie across the face, but she manages to knee him in the groin, then escape into her car. Leaving him in a heap on the ground, she takes off out of the pound. Rose arrives back from her trip. She finds the apartment a tip, and Maggie curled up on her bed with the dog from the salon.
What the hell is that?
It's Honey Bun 2.
You bought a dog?
No, I borrowed him. I didn't want to be alone last night. I had a bad night.
So did I, Maggie. Several of them. But you don't see me stealing dogs.
I was scared. There were these guys and...
Of course there were.
I got home and you were gone.
The plane was late.
I
have to be in court in 20 minutes. And I missed 2 days of work for nothing, which means I'm going to have to work forever. And now I'm getting a cold, so I don't have room in my head for your problems right now. Just have my sheets cleaned and the dog out by the time I get home.
Outside, Rose finds her car wheels being clamped.
My car has a boot on it! How the hell did my car get a boot on it?
Oh, I was trying to tell you. I used it the other day.
I've had that car, not one ticket. You use it without permission for 2 days. Melanie, it's me. There's an emergency and I can't make it to court. Can you send someone to cover for me? Thank you. You ruin everything. I can't take this anymore, Maggie. I can't. I want you out. Now, today, before I get home from work, where am I supposed to go? That is not my problem! You are your problem! You figure it out!
At Rose's office...
How was Chicago?
Cold.
Sorry, I couldn't swing it. Things were kind of crazy around here.
Yeah, I know. I work here, too.
She walks past him on the stairs, then stops.
You know, Jim... If you say you're going to be in Chicago, you should be in Chicago. And if you can't make it, if you know you're going to send Simon Stein in your place, then pick up the goddamn phone.
He watches her go, impressed. As Honeybun watches her from the bed, Maggie puts down a glass of wine on the bedside table, then starts stuffing her belongings into a black bin bag. She looks up and notices Rose's dozens of pairs of shoes, all neatly lined up by colour in her closet, and drags her bin bag over to them.
Bitch.
She glares at the shoes, then has an idea. Rose is working late. Wearing a pair of black leather open-toe boots with heels, Maggie drags her bin bag into the sitting room. She's wearing just a shirt and knickers. Honeybun runs to the door.
It's okay, Honeybun.
Shh.
After picking up the dog, she looks through the spy hole, then thinks for a moment before answering.
Is Rose here?
Nope.
Jim's standing with a bouquet of flowers. Maggie gives him a flirty smile, then sashays off through the apartment. Rose turns off her computer for the night. Honeybun skitters to the door as a weary-looking Rose lets herself into the apartment. She switches on the light, then looks sullenly at Maggie's clothes lying all over the place. She lets out a sigh, then makes her way along the hallway to her bedroom, where she finds Maggie and Jim in bed together. Maggie stares at them in total shock, then steps back and turns away, reeling. Jim comes out pulling on his shirt.
Rose.
She covers her face, then leans on a chair.
I liked you. I really liked you.
She won't even remember your name. In fact, she can't even spell it. Can you, Mac? Want to give it a try? Come on, sound it out. Jim. Pretty, but real stupid.
Shut up, you fat pig! Did you honestly just say fat pig? You are my sister, and the best you can do is fat pig.
She grabs the bin bag, then slams Maggie against the wall. Jim pulls up outside a train station with Maggie.
Is there anything I can do?
I want $200. That's a going rate, isn't it?
As she stares straight ahead, he gets out the money, then hands it over without looking at her.
When's your next train in New York?
12:18.
Maggie pays for the ticket, then sits down with her bin bag. Looking fed up, she puts her handbag on her lap, then opens it. Inside is the pile of letters she found at her dad's house. She flicks through them and reads the sender's details. Mr. and Mrs. Ira Hirsch, Deerfield Beach, Florida. Maggie turns and sees the train information board flip over to Palmetto, Miami. In cream slacks and a soft lilac jacket, a well-preserved woman of around 70 pushes a book trolley up a path towards a retirement complex. She stops at an apartment door with a mobility scooter parked out the front and knocks.
Mrs. Lefkowitz!
She makes a note on her pad.
All right, already. Oh, sorry, I thought it was my son. I'll get my list.
Okay.
I didn't know your son was here. That's wonderful.
Yeah, well, he said he wants to see me. And where is he now? He's on the beach looking at bosoms. Hey, Louis, what's the matter? You look like you just had a stroke.
Hi, Mrs. Lefkowitz. Oh, hi, Ella. Hi, I didn't see you.
She's invisible.
You look confused.
Well, who needs all these choices? That's soap.
I say, when in doubt, go for the simplest box.
You know, Charlotte taught me almost everything. Cooking, dishes, how to use a cell phone. Then we got around to the laundry.
You must miss her.
Every day. You?
Well, I didn't know your wife, so no. I can't say that I do.
Oh, finally a date with Louis Feldman.
What do you mean?
He's had his eye on you since he got here.
That's ridiculous. He has not. Anyway, it's not a date. I'm just helping him with his laundry.
Why, what do you think dates look like around here? Bungee jumping? Believe me, it's a date.
At least she's gone. Where'd she go to, anyway?
I don't know. Her dad's, I guess.
Oh, well, that's good. Give Sadell one more thing to complain about.
Rose's face crumples.
Which one are you crying about, the predatory prick or the shit for brains tramp? Because neither one deserves your tears.
You know, Amy, I'm sure you're right. But sometimes I wish you'd just say, boy, that sucks. And I'm really sorry it happened to you.
You have them for every high holiday?
Yeah. The Passover one says, what makes the Stuchus unlike any other? My son, the Joker, thinks it makes up for the fact that I don't see him on the holidays.
They go to her parents.
Yeah, at least he's married. My son, 55, still single.
Gay?
I wish. Immature.
Ella, tell me about your family.
My husband, Ira, was in real estate. Died 3 years ago, cancer. That's funny.
No, it's the way we do that. Dead spouse intro. Name, rank, when did he die, how.
But not the specifics. Cancer's okay, but no one ever says lung cancer.
Or, God forbid, prostate cancer.
How about you? Have any kids?
No. No, I don't have any children.
While Rose stares morosely at a statue in a frozen fountain, Honeybun cocks his leg and pees in the snow.
Rufus? Is that Rufus? Is Shirley back from Europe already? Ooh, I thought she was boarding Rufus for another month.
She is, yeah. I just walk. Rufus.
Oh, you're with the elegant car.
No? No, I'm...
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Carol. Hi.
Oh, I'm a freelance dog walker.
I see.
Yeah, I work for kennels with kennels and for individuals, too.
It's just what we need.
Absolutely.
How much do you charge?
Jesus, you saved my ass. Where did you find him?
Oh, just wandering around Rittenhouse.
You know, I give this girl a job. She seems normal. Next thing I know, she's taken off with this dog. You can imagine, something like this gets out and I'm out of business. So how does 200 sound for a reward? Fair enough?
I don't want a reward.
What, are you a saint?
No. I was thinking maybe instead of a reward, you could offer your clients my dog walking services. Exclusively. We could split the proceeds.
Wearing canvas baseball shoes and long jeans, Maggie steps off a train. She sets off across the platform, clutching her bin bag, passing a sign for Deerfield Beach, Florida. At a payphone, she pulls out the directory and leaves through the pages till she comes to the H's. Running her finger down the names, she stops at an entry for Ella Hirsch.
Not so much as the Winnebago he left her. Oh, it's horrible. You won't be laughing when you're reading government cheese.
Hello. Hello?
Is this Ella Hirsch?
Yes, it is.
Did you have a daughter named Caroline?
Yes.
Down by the beach, Maggie's sitting on a bench, fixing her makeup in a compact mirror when Ella pulls up across the street in a cream car. Maggie puts away her eye pencil and stares at her.
So are you on vacation or...? Yeah. Well, we've been having wonderful weather. I'm so glad you're off. I'm so glad you're here.
Maggie eyes Ella up and down with contempt, then turns away. As Ella drives into the Abbey Del Rey retirement complex, Maggie looks out at a woman with a metal walking frame. They turn into the driveway of a neat detached house.
Mrs. Lefkowitz, this is my granddaughter, Maggie Feller.
Hello.
Glance at his eyes here. Well, you must be starving. I can fix you something to eat.
No, I'm fine. I just, I'm really tired.
Oh, well, let me show you the guest room. It's right through here. This is the bathroom. And I'll put out clean towels and a washcloth. The bed's made up. And there are extra blankets in the closet.
Is my grandfather around?
Oh, no. No, Ira passed away over 3 years ago. So you'll call me if you need anything.
Yeah.
When Maggie closes the door on her, Ella lets out a sigh. In the middle of having her hair done, Mrs. Lefkowitz is watching with interest.
Hey, you said you didn't have children.
I said I don't have children. I had a daughter. Her name was Caroline. She died.
What was she like?
Well, she was exactly like that. Same eyes, same skin, same face, identical. But she had health problems. She had mental health problems.
How'd she die?
Ella looks distant for a moment.
Car accident.
A leave of absence? Why?
I'm not happy at that firm.
So instead you'll be walking dogs?
And running errands. I think it'll be fun.
Are you okay? You're not having...
What?
You ever want to talk to someone, Rose? I'll pay for it. No questions asked. If you're ever feeling...
crazy? I'm not the one you should be worried about.
How is Maggie?
You haven't seen her?
No, she's still with you, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, she is. She's fine. Thanks for the coffee.
See you soon.
In pouring rain, Rose leaves her dad in the street, then instantly gets on her phone.
The number you have called is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording...
Maggie looks out of her bedroom window and sees a group of pensioners doing gentle Tai Chi moves on the lawn outside.
Well, good morning. Did you sleep well?
Fine, thanks.
I have English muffins here. I can make you any kind of eggs you'd like.
I don't eat breakfast.
Oh.
I drink coffee.
So, my goodness, this is a surprise. Such a lovely surprise. After all this time.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I beg your pardon.
Well, were you always out of the picture or just after Mom died?
Oh, your grandfather and I were never out of the... I mean, we were always there. We... And even after your mom died, I wrote birthday cards every year, and I never heard back.
Yeah, I know. You wrote for a while. I just found them.
What do you mean, just?
I guess they got waylaid. Thanks for the money.
You're telling me that your father never gave you my cards?
Mm-mm.
What must you have thought?
I thought you both were dead.
She looks out of the window.
Does this place have a pool?
Oh, sorry.
Rose is being dragged along the street by four dogs.
Come on,
at the retirement complex, a group of old men playing shuffleboard all turn to watch Maggie sashaying along to the pool in her bikini.
Where'd she come from?
Rose is sitting on a bench in the pouring rain with her dogs. Maggie spreads her towel on a lounger, then rubs suntan lotion into her slender legs and arms. When she sees the men watching her, she gives them a little wave. The sun's come out, and Rose is being pulled along the street by her dogs when she stops and looks up the steps to a grand courthouse and smiles. The dogs drag her up the courthouse steps. At the top, she tries to catch her breath. The poolside tables are now full of men eyeing up Maggie as she lies on her front and unties her bikini top. On a street...
Rose! Rose Feller!
Oh, Stein.
How are you? Man, you look great. Not sick at all.
Why would I look sick?
Oh. That's one of the rumors.
There are rumors?
How about that? Lunchtime. Hey, how does Japanese sound?
I'm not hungry, Stein.
Oh, there's no such thing as not hungry for sushi. Come on. We'll bill it to one of your old clients. Thank you. You eat everything?
What do you think?
Okay. Two orders of uni, one masago,
mm-hmm.
Two taco,
okay.
Two hamachi,
mm-hmm.
And then also that cod thing that was a special once, but it's not on the menu anymore. You know what I'm talking about.
Tara.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You just ordered for me?
Yes.
What am I, 12?
I'm an expert orderer. It's a gift.
Is it?
Absolutely. What was the last great restaurant you went to?
I took my sister to Le Bec Fin.
Ah, and you both got the snapper, right?
Close. I got the snapper. She got three rum and cokes and the sommelier's phone number.
Okay. Well, I'll take you there, and we'll get the foie gras with Roquefort stuffed fig, Scottish wood pigeon with cabbage and porcini cassoulet, chocolate mousse with raspberries and hazelnut macaroon. You'll want to eat with me for the rest of your life.
She snaps free her chopsticks.
Ah. There you go.
Mm.
The special, Tara.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
So, what are the other rumors?
Rumor one, mysterious illness. Rumor two, headhunted by Pepper and Hamilton. Here, try some of this.
Rumor three.
Soy?
Oh, come on. What's rumor three?
Affair with a partner gone bad. Don't worry. Most people are betting on lupus.
Her fake smile fades.
Here. Wasabi makes everything better.
She looks at him in gratitude.
So, what time Friday?
Friday?
Dinner.
Oh, look, Simon, this is really nice, but I don't think that...
Seven it is.
She gives a curt nod and smiles.
Thank you.
After a hard day sunbathing, Maggie returns to Ella's and dumps her things.
That smells good. What is that?
That's braised veal.
Maggie opens a can and spills some.
There's a paper towel on the counter.
Maggie ignores her and sips her drink.
Out of curiosity, how long is this vacation of yours going to last?
How come you don't have any pictures of my mom around? Don't you like thinking about her?
I don't need to have a picture to think about my daughter.
Having folded up Maggie's towel, Ella returns to sorting through her book trolley.
You put out pictures, people ask questions. They expect you to tell them everything, and I don't do that.
Because Mom was sick?
Because she's gone.
Is that why you pulled away from us? So that you didn't have to talk about her with us either?
I didn't pull away. I was pushed. Now, listen, I'm not the one who didn't pass along the letters. That was your father. I'm not the one who didn't want a relationship.
He said that. And I want you to have a relationship with my daughters.
Oh, yes.
When?
At the funeral.
Why? Why would he say that?
Because he's irrational. Yeah. He blamed me for everything. Every bad day, every bad episode. He did not want me near her. And after she was gone, he didn't want me near you or your sister.
I just wonder if you had tried harder, you know, or like tried again after you'd gotten over the whole shock and grief of it. You know? Because it would have been nice having a grandmother. Nice and maybe a little less lonely.
She sounds like a manipulative little nincompoop.
The girl lost her mother.
So you lost your daughter.
Not the same.
It's worse. A parent burying a child goes against the law of nature.
Well, so does a grandparent abandoning her grandchildren.
You said yourself he didn't want you around. What were you supposed to do, break down the door?
Yes. Shoelace. For Caroline? Yes.
Caroline. She was gone, Cookie. You pushing your way into that house wasn't going to do a thing for her.
She wanted me there.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do. I know.
How?
I just do.
How?
I've never told anybody this, not even Ira.
I'll take it to my grave. Probably tomorrow.
It wasn't a car accident. I mean, it was a car. And there was a crash. But...
How do you know it was on purpose?
She wrote a note. Came the day after the funeral.
What'd it say?
One line. Please take care of my girls.
And you didn't. You didn't because you couldn't. Now you can, so you will. Ellen Bubbly, you did the best you could in a very bad situation. You got nothing to feel guilty about. And you tell that to Miss Hutsy Totsy Pants.
Ella half laughs, half cries.
So this is where all my boyfriends have been coming from.
They took a vote. I don't know who I pissed off, but somehow I lost. Or won. Either way, it's official. I am the captain of the softball team. Yeah. Look, I know this isn't my business, but I can't not say anything. You have rights. legal options for getting your job back.
I don't want it back.
You don't? I thought you loved it. You were always the first one there in the morning and the last one to leave at night.
I know. Not because I loved it.
Then why?
I don't know. Maybe I was scared of what would happen if I wasn't there.
Oh, what, like the place would fall apart without you?
With law freaks like you there? Never. No, I wasn't worried about the office. I guess it was more me. I mean, what would happen to me without those people to please and those tasks to get done? Like, maybe those were the things holding me together. And without them, I'd fall apart.
But you didn't.
I guess not.
So what does hold you together?
Rose stares at Simon, then shrugs.
For me, it's the law, politics, the Sixers, and good food. If you ever want to join me for a game or a meal, I hope you'll give me a call.
Returning to Ella's, Maggie finds the house quiet. She puts down her towel and bag.
Ella?
Wearing a bikini top, short denim rah-rah skirt, headscarf and shades, she enters Ella's bedroom, then starts snooping around. She opens an old-fashioned jewellery box and inspects a pouch. Then a framed black-and-white photograph catches her eye. It's of a woman with long, dark hair, holding a baby girl in her arms. As Maggie stares at it, at first, she doesn't notice Ella watching her from the doorway.
Oh, I was just looking for...
For what?
Sorry, I'm...
Wrong dresser. It's in the sock drawer.
What is...
My cash. That's what you were looking for, right? That's what you want.
No, God.
Oh, well. I guess after being absent for some 20-odd years or so, I can't expect you to want to have a relationship with me. How much?
How much what?
Money, Maggie. How much money were you hoping to get from me?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
I want to go to New York. Maybe act. I think I'd be good at it.
Clearly. How much do you need?
$3,000.
That you would not have found in the sock drawer. How much do you have? Well, I won't give you $3,000, but I'll do this. They need help over at the assisted living center. You get that job. Stop loafing around here like some princess. And I will match what you earn penny for penny.
Maggie looks at her seriously.
You would do that? Why?
Because I'm your grandmother.
Now wearing sensible white gym shoes and a red tunic and trousers, Maggie carries a tray of drinks through the assisted care home. She sets it down, then tiptoes into a room to collect a meal tray from an old man who's asleep in bed.
Is that Corinne?
No.
Who is it?
Maggie.
Have we met before?
There's a pickup line with a little dust on it.
Fine. What's your sign? I've been out of the game for a while.
What, like 70, 80 years?
Give or take. Where's Corinne? She's my number one girl.
Excuse me, but what does Corinne have that I don't?
She reads to me.
Oh.
You could do it. Maybe knows her out of first position. Here.
The man is blind.
I'm a little busy right now.
Maybe you should wait for Corinne.
Rose is lying awake in bed, unable to sleep. She picks up the phone.
Hello?
Are the Sixers basketball or hockey?
At a basketball game, Rose and Simon watch the Sixers shoot a hoop.
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about! Get back! Get back! It's Reggie Miller! You gotta get him! He'll make it every time! Boo! That's right! Boo! Good!
In a fast food joint...
I can't believe we lost the game.
Why can't you believe we've been losing all season long?
That's right.
You need a three-point man. A man who can shoot the pill.
Listen,
a man
I don't
who
care
can
if
thrill.
You're the best three-point shooter in the league. You gotta get back on defense.
At the same time, you need to put points on the boards, too.
Look at the best teams in history. The Celtics, the Bulls, the Lakers. All great defensive teams. I mean, offense sells tickets, but defense wins ball games.
He's right. Without defense, you won't win games.
Thank you.
In her kitchen, Rose uncorks a bottle of wine, sniffs it, and takes a swig, then gets out a couple of glasses. Next door, Simon picks up a trashy novel.
I see you're a fan of the classics.
What? Oh, that's my sister's.
Oh, okay.
I hope you like cheap, almost stale red.
It's my favorite. What's she like, the sister?
She's, you know, a sister.
You don't want to talk about your sister.
I didn't say that. I don't want to talk about my sister.
Cheers. So what's he like, this Captain Jack?
His fingers tangled in her curls while his tongue plundered the soft cavern of her mouth. She made no protest. Her furnace was alight. Jack drew his lips from hers and urged her forward so he could take one shirt-veiled nipple into his mouth. Kit's gasp urged him on. He licked the material until it clung to the right peak, then drew the turgid flesh deep into his mouth. Kit moaned, her body spasming in response. Her eyes were closed, her lips parted. Okay, embarrassing as this is to admit, I'm officially turned on.
Rose smiles. Then when she sees him putting down the book and taking off his glasses, she looks at him expectantly. He moves over to her end of the sofa, looks into her eyes, then kisses her. She reaches out and turns off the lamp. He draws back, turns the lamp on, then starts kissing her again. Her hand reaches out for the lamp cord again. He pulls away with an indulgent smile, turns the lamp back on, then touches her chin to get her to look at him. The last traces of doubt in her eyes, he erases with a passionate, all-consuming kiss. Nighttime, and Maggie arrives back at Ella's house in her work clothes, drops her paycheck on the desk in front of Ella, then walks off without a word. Ella picks up the check, then watches Maggie disappear into her room.
Does this mean that I'm your bitch?
Do you want to be my bitch?
Rose and Simon are in bed.
I have wanted to be your bitch since my first day at Dommel. That Chicago trip, I was convinced it was all going to come together for me there.
Was I unfriendly?
No. I mean, not compared to, say, Stalin.
I'm sorry. I was hideous.
It's okay. You have plenty of time to make it up to me.
On a sunny day, Rose bounds up the steps of the courthouse with her four canine charges pulling on their leads.
Go, go, go! Come on, come on!
At the top, she punches the air.
Yes!
So, how's it going with Hotsy Tots?
Oh, fine.
Fine, she says.
What?
There's no fine with grandkids. It's either the best day of your life or sheer torture.
What do you do together?
I don't know. We eat. That's it.
Yeah, do things she likes to do. Read the fashion magazines. Surf the net. Watch the smut on the cable.
I don't have cable.
No cable? And she wonders why she and the girl aren't all buddy-buddy.
I don't need television to build a relationship with my granddaughter.
You're new to this. Trust me. It's all about surround sound.
Arriving home from work one night, Maggie finds Ella, Lewis, and Mrs. Lefkowitz having cocktails in front of the TV.
Maggie! We're having cosmopolitans. Would you like one?
I wasn't getting the same rush. Tonight, I needed more.
No, thanks.
Meanwhile, uptown, Charlotte wondered when relationships had gotten so complicated. She yearned for the time when dinner was followed by dessert, not lubricant. I want to, but I can't. That's not true. I don't want to. Or maybe I do. I don't know what I want, but...
I've seen this one.
I can't. I want children and nice bedding.
It's funny.
I just can't handle this right now. That night, they made love the Charlotte way. Polite.
Oh, it was wonderful.
I thought so.
Oh, good. Now walk up.
Thank you
now,
for
Mrs.
everything. Good. Have a very wonderful day.
Yes, and have a good sleep and no sugar. Okay.
And good
night.
Yeah.
Lewis kisses Ella.
Yeah, okay. Okay, thank you. Good night.
Ella takes a moment to compose herself, then heads through to the kitchen, where Maggie's sitting up on the counter, dipping her finger in a bowl, then licking it.
What's up with Lewis?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I say go for it. Just jump him.
Maggie! Don't talk like that. You're...
Half the fun of sex is talking about it.
Well, I guess I missed that half.
You never talked about sex?
Occasionally with Ira. Kind of.
Yeah, but what about girlfriends? The first time you got laid, you had to tell someone that.
It's my wedding night. It was assumed.
You missed out on one of the all-time greatest conversations in life.
Who'd you tell?
Rose.
Well, maybe if I'd had a sister. Even when you were so small, you had a bond that I'd never had with anyone. Still close like that?
Sure.
I don't talk about her.
What do you want to hear? We're totally fine. We're tight. We're thick as thieves.
Let's ask her down. I'd like to know her, too.
You know, I doubt she would come. She's, like, really busy. She's a lawyer.
No kidding. What kind?
The really busy kind.
What do you do once they've all peed?
Give them a brush, take them all home, make sure they have water to drink.
After that?
Then I'm done.
So what do you do?
Whatever. Shop for food, cook for my boyfriend.
I know his name.
I know, but I've never really had a real live grown-up boyfriend before, and I'm gonna use the word as often as I can.
All right, first of all, he's not grown up, none of them are.
You know, there's a consistency to your cynicism which is truly beautiful.
Mm. Just don't be surprised if he turns out to be less than perfect.
And don't be surprised if he doesn't.
I gotta go.
Goodbye.
Have fun.
I'll call you.
All right.
You sound too pretty, Maggie, to be cleaning bedpan.
You're right, I am.
I have a grandson, a doctor over in Tampa. I should introduce you.
You don't want to do that.
I got bad news.
You know, I don't mean to be, but yeah.
Well, since you're not going to marry my grandson, you might as well read to me.
The old blind man reaches for a book and holds it out to her.
I'm kind of a slow reader.
Perfect. I'm a slow listener.
Hesitantly, she takes the book, then opens it at the bookmarked page.
The art of losing. You know, I should just get back to work.
What is it, dyslexia?
What are you, a teacher?
Professor. Retired. Just take your time, Maggie. Listen to the words as you're about to say them. 9 times out of 10, you'll hear a mistake coming and you'll correct it before you make it. Then again, you might make a total ass of yourself.
He pats the bed, gesturing for her to sit down. When she picks the book back up, then perches on the edge, he waits for her to begin.
Oh, come on. Poetry's supposed to be slow.
She opens the book and takes a deep breath.
The art of losing isn't hard to master. So many things seen, filed, seem filled with the intent to be lost, that their loss is no.
She swallows hard.
Disaster. Lose something every day. Except the fluster of lost door keys.
Rose puts on a pair of her heels for a romantic date with Simon.
Two rivers, a continent. I miss them, but it wasn't a disaster. Even losing you, the joking voice, a gesture I love. I shan't have lied. It's evident the art of losing's not too hard to master. Though it may look like, write it, like disaster.
Maggie smiles, then closes the book.
Well, what do you think?
Good.
Unacceptable answer. What's the poem about?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. What's it about?
Losing?
What?
Love?
Ah, and how about that? Is the love lost already? Is Bishop writing about it as a possibility, a probability? What?
Well, in the beginning, she's talking about losing real things, like her keys. And then she gets like, she lost a continent.
She's getting grandiose.
Yeah. And the way she says it is like it doesn't matter.
Ah. Her tone. Would you call it detached?
I think she wants to sound detached. You know, she wants to sound like it doesn't matter. Because she knows deep down how bad it's gonna feel to lose.
Lose what? Or whom? Is it a lover?
No. It's a friend.
A plus. Smart girl.
Maggie's face lights up with a smile. Still smiling, Maggie walks through the supermarket, happily tossing things into her basket before carrying on down the aisle with her head held high. At Simon's parents...
Comfortable, huh? It's very, lived in.
Well, what can I get you?
Well, I'll have a white wine and he'll have the same.
Oh, good.
And why don't you just make yourself at home and I'll be right back. Hey, Dad.
Where's Maggie?
Oh, not here. Oh, thank God. We don't need her drama tonight.
Why isn't she here? Is something wrong?
No, we just, you know, had a fight.
About what?
Can we talk about this later?
Yes, bad enough she monopolizes the evening when she's here. Oh, let me see that ring.
Rose shows Sidell her engagement ring.
Rose tells me you have a daughter as well, Sidell.
My Marcia? You'll meet her. You'll love her. Everyone does. My Marcia's a decorator.
Really?
She's an absolute genius in her work.
I'd like to say a few words. Please. To Rose and Simon. We're all blessed to be a part of your happiness. Your love bonds not just your two hearts, but the hearts of two families. Mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Thanks, Dad. That went okay.
Yeah.
Where's Maggie?
It's hard to say, you know? She moves around a lot.
Well, I want to meet her eventually, you know? She's your sister. I want to know her.
You will.
What was the fight about?
Girl stuff.
At Ella's, Maggie cremates a chicken in the oven.
I should have used fresh vegetables instead of frozen.
I don't think so. They were great. Really delicious. They were good.
Really?
Yes. So have you heard from Rose?
No.
So she hasn't gotten back to you?
About what?
You were going to invite her down, Maggie.
I don't know where you got that idea.
Maggie, I specifically asked you to.
So just because you specifically asked doesn't mean I'm going to.
You shouldn't smoke. You have a family history of lung cancer.
I have a family history of car wrecks, too. Does that mean I shouldn't drive?
It is not funny.
It wasn't supposed to be.
All right, what is the problem between you and Rose? Why don't you want her to visit?
Why do you? I mean, am I not good enough for you?
This has nothing to do with you. She is my daughter's daughter, and I want to get to know her, too.
Maggie clears the table in a strop. And Ella picks up a glass of wine and follows her into the kitchen. As Maggie busies herself at the sink, Ella sits down at the breakfast bar.
What was Caroline like with you girls? I mean, as a mom, how do you remember her?
Why don't you ask Rose?
Maggie, please grow up.
She was special. Different than the other moms. She used to surprise us. One time I opened up my lunchbox and there was a tiara inside.
A tiara? With your sandwich?
Instead of a sandwich. What was she like as a daughter?
No tiaras. But I loved her so much. Loving her in the right way was difficult, for me anyway.
I didn't know there was a right way and a wrong way.
Neither did I. I had ideas. I had unwelcomed ideas about how to keep her safe.
Like?
Like, I thought she should have been on her medication all the time.
I thought that her relationship with your father was far too passionate for her to handle. And as far as children are concerned, she was in no condition. No condition at all.
So you wish she never had me?
You know what I wish, Maggie? I wish I'd kept my big mouth shut long enough to hear what she wanted out of life.
Sidel is throwing Rose a bridal shower.
There she is! There's the bride!
Be strong.
Stay right here. I'll get you corsage.
Corsage? What is this, a prom?
Lady?
Thank you.
Who are these people?
I have no idea, except for my Martian.
Hello.
Hey. You're not sticking around to watch me ooh and ah over Mixmaster Deluxe?
It's good of you to let Sidel do this.
Like gale force winds could stop her.
Go easy on her. Marcia's giving her a very hard time these days.
Oh, what's she doing? Decorating in last year's colors?
She joined Jews for Jesus.
Yoo-hoo! Ladies, it's time for the entertainment portion of our soiree. Everyone get what you can see. Anita, Jackie, come on. Scoot.
Here we go.
Aww. We who know Rose are so thrilled that this day has finally arrived. There was a time we had our doubts.
Oh, my goodness.
All that time spent with her nose buried in her book. Of course, there were romances, but for some reason or other, nothing stuck. Oh, one thing Rose always had was a great appetite for life.
Unable to stand any more of her old family pictures, Rose flees to the kitchen.
God! Why would anyone want to marry me? I'm disgusting.
The only disgusting person here is your stepmother. She's hideous.
So why is she giving me this party? She hates me. Someone else should do it. Someone who loves me. Someone who can look at me and say, all of this is nothing more than the happiness you deserve.
Young lady. Rosefell. Don't you dare walk out of this, my friend!
She's crazy.
She's crazy. She's
spinning
ahead.
A sober-faced Simon and Rose drop Amy off outside her apartment.
Hands down, best shower I've ever been to.
Simon thinks before speaking.
Engagement should be a happy time, Rosie.
So should childhood and graduation and happy hour. Did you know more suicides happen during happy hour than any other time of day?
Is it true?
I wouldn't doubt it.
I love you, you know.
A pink notepad with Dear Rose written at the top of a blank page is sitting by the pool while Maggie takes a swim. An old woman comes over for a snoop.
Who's Rose? There's this thing called Privacy Dora.
This from a girl who puts a postage stamp on a bottom and calls it a swimsuit.
Ella comes into her house and sees Maggie's handbag lying open on the counter. After glancing at the bathroom door, she picks out one of the scrunched-up pages which just has Dear Rose written on it. Another page has Dear Rose, I'm sorry. Frowning, she looks over towards the bathroom again, then takes out Maggie's address book and opens it up. At home, Rose is sitting curled up on the sofa, idly flicking through the pages of a bridal magazine. Reaching down behind her, she pulls out Maggie's long purple scarf, which has fallen down the back of the sofa, then contemplates it sadly. She looks over her shoulder then reaches for the phone from the lamp table. Dressed for work, Maggie's walking through the complex when she sees Mrs. Lefkowitz sitting slumped in her mobility scooter. Munching on a snack, Maggie wanders over to the old lady, then looks down at her.
Hey.
Mrs. Lefkowitz doesn't move.
Are you dead?
What were you thinking going to the mall? The mall is for young people, people with teeth.
Well, my son's finally getting married, and the girl's a ninny. Shut up, Ma, he says. Just show up in something nice. You know what I saw today?
What?
Pants with juicy written across the hiney. I'm gonna wear that.
Just wear something you're comfortable in.
I haven't been comfortable since the Dodgers left Brooklyn.
What's your favorite thing you ever wore?
Ever?
Yeah. In your whole life?
My going away suit from my wedding. Black and white checks, very fitted. I felt like Jackie Kennedy in that suit.
Maggie thinks, then picks up Mrs. Lefkowitz's handbag.
Give me your credit card. Give it to me.
In a shoe shop, Maggie inspects a pair of heels.
Can I get you a size?
No, I'm going to the women's suit department.
At home, Maggie looks up as Mrs. Lefkowitz emerges wearing a classy, flowing grey trouser suit and her old loafers.
So? Jackie Kennedy?
Better. Jackie Onassis.
Doesn't look so good on you.
Good job.
Simon lays down Rose's pile of post. The top letter is in Ella's handwriting.
You ready?
I don't know what to wear to a mainline wedding.
It doesn't matter. Wear whatever you want.
Believe me, when the bride's name is Lopi, it matters.
That looks great. Come on.
Really?
Yeah. Come on. We gotta go.
I can't believe you have a friend named Lopi.
Come on, come on, come on.
I'm sorry. Wait.
Rose pulls on a pair of tights.
Are you okay? Because if there's gonna be any stabbing, I need a little heads up.
I'm fine.
She goes to put on the heel that Maggie broke before.
Oh my god. Oh shit, my Jimmy Choo's. Chewing gum? Oh, that bitch. That bitch!
No one will notice.
Right, no one's gonna notice that. Hi. I can talk because I have a mouth. My heel has a mouth.
No one will notice.
Oh my god. What happened to your heel?
Rose forces a smile, then limps away from the bride.
Best wishes, Nippy. Jordan. Thanks, Simon.
Let the wind die down. Let the shed go black inside. Let evening come. To the bottle in the ditch. To the scoop in the oats. To air in the lung. Let evening come.
At the wedding, Rose is sitting by herself in a quiet corner, knocking back a flute of champagne, when Jim comes over.
Can I take that for you? I hear you're getting married. Congratulations.
Congratulations for the groom. You say best wishes to the bride?
Guess my manners aren't what they should be.
Gee, really?
Rose, I am really sorry. I have felt horrible about myself for 2 solid months.
I felt horrible about myself my whole life, so you'll get no sympathy from me.
Jim sits down beside her.
You know what they called me growing up? Fudgy the Whale. I'm still shocked when a woman wants me, and sometimes I do really stupid things because I can't believe I can. The thing with your sister...
was inexcusable. No matter what you weighed in high school, you ruined everything.
I know. What we had was really special.
Oh, please, what we...
Because of you, I have no idea where my sister is. I can't reach her. Her phone's cut off. She doesn't even know I'm engaged. My own sister, my best friend. And the worst part is, I can't talk to anyone about it. If I tell my father, he'll get all panicked and mad at me for not taking better care of her. And if I tell Simon, I can't tell Simon.
Why not?
Because. He'll hate her. And that I couldn't bear.
He goes to stroke her face. Then they both see Simon standing in the doorway. She pulls up her dress strap.
Hi, Jim. Here I am trying to be patient. Trying to be understanding while you lose your freaking mind.
I'm not losing my mind.
Ping-ponging between comatose and homicidal. God, every day I wake up thinking, maybe today's the day she'll come back.
I'm right here.
Maybe today she'll look at me like she used to. She'll look at me in the eye. Tell me what she's thinking.
Simon?
But no. Today's the day you look him in the eye. Tell him what you're thinking. The guy who treated you like a disposable wash rag.
He pulls up outside her apartment block. When she leans across and gives him a kiss on the cheek, he doesn't look at her. Then she climbs out. With a lopsided gait, she steps up onto the pavement in her one good heel.
This has nothing to do with him. This is about you and me. You not talking to me. You not telling me what's going on inside you. Tell me.
She looks away tearfully.
I won't marry you like this. I won't do it.
He gets back in his car and drives off, leaving her standing. Playing cards, Maggie casts a sideways look at Ella, who's focused on her hand.
So this lady today, she heard about how I shot for Mrs. Lefkowitz, and she asked if I did the same for her.
No kidding.
Yeah. Said she'd pay.
Well, she better.
Ella picks up a card.
Do you think there's other women down here who would?
Are you kidding? Scads.
I was thinking of doing it maybe like a business.
Well, that's an excellent idea.
I'm really terrible at numbers. I mean, adding and stuff.
Well, I'm good with them. I can help. If you like.
Yeah, sure. That'd be good.
Jin.
Maggie smiles. Rose is sitting on her apartment floor, going through her post, when she comes across the letter from Ella. Slicing it open, she finds inside a wallet containing plane tickets. She turns her attention to the letter.
Oh, no.
Dad? Dad?
You are not welcome here.
Rose? You all right?
Are you kidding? I'm fantastic. Turns out I have a grandmother I never knew about.
It was in your own best interest. Your father
thought... Why are you speaking? You do not have any place in this conversation.
Excuse me, miss. This is my house.
Please.
Sidell walks away, and Rose's dad sits down on the stairs.
How did she find you?
How did she lose me? She said she sent birthday cards. Please tell me you never got them. Our mother was dead. Our father was practically catatonic. A grandmother might have come in handy.
She was impossible, Rose. Bossy, self-righteous. Nosy about things that weren't her business.
Like what?
Trust me, we were better off without her.
Because she was bossy? That doesn't make any sense.
I didn't want to be around that, and I didn't want you around it.
What?
The judgment, the blame.
For what? What'd she blame you for?
Everything.
What everything?
Just everything.
Dad?
For your mother, all right? For her death.
She said that?
She didn't have to. She wanted her protected all the time. Drugged. But Caroline, she didn't want to live that way. It made her foggy. She couldn't take it if she was pregnant. So we hoped it would be enough, loving each other, loving you and Maggie. There were so many good days. We thought it would be okay. Oh, God. I'm sorry, Rosie. I'm so sorry.
Now, the only opening on Thursday she has is 5 o'clock.
P.M.?
Yes.
That's right in the middle of dinner.
I'll take it or leave it.
I'll take it if she won't.
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Jim.
Oh?
Ella.
Lewis! Are you looking for a personal shopper, too?
No. A date. To the tea dance, and I'd be honored if you go with me.
All the women look at her.
I'd love to.
Pick up at 4.
Lewis heads off with a smile.
Lois Feldman.
Rose gets out of a cab outside the retirement complex.
This place just keeps getting better and better.
She straightens her blouse, puts down her case, then knocks on Ella's front door. The door opens, and Rose's expectant smile vanishes when she sees Maggie standing with a spoonful of peanut butter in her mouth.
What are you doing here?
I live here. What are you doing here?
You live here, in an old folks' home.
It's a retirement community for active seniors.
Wait, so you live with our grandmother?
How'd you find out about her?
Can't believe she wrote you without telling me.
So sneaky. Does it offend your strict moral code? So how's it going for you down here? Who's buying your cocktails?
No one.
No. Is your mojo failing you already?
My mojo's fine. I just haven't felt like drinking.
Right. Probably haven't felt like stealing or lying or having sex with inappropriate partners either.
Did you come down here just to abuse me?
Maggie! I hope you are prepared to be exceedingly rich because I've booked you within an...
Rose. Oh. Oh, Rose. Look at you. Oh, look how lovely you are.
Oh. Do you remember me?
Yeah.
I remember you too. You're exactly the same. Smiley and huggable and... Ooh, and engaged?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. To who?
No one you know.
Champagne. Now, come with me. Tell me all about it.
In bed.
I can't believe you're marrying somebody I haven't even met. What's he like, anyhow? Why, you want to screw him, too? I don't expect you to forgive me, Rose.
but I am sorry.
Rose keeps her back turned and says nothing.
Careful, Mrs. Haskell.
I'm always careful.
She hit somebody last week. It was a big to-do. And there's a store where you can buy 8 different kinds of hemorrhoid creams. All right, here come the queen bees.
Widows.
They run the place.
Oh, watch out.
Hello, ladies. This is my sister.
Maggie.
Hi, Maggie.
Yep. Have a good day. This is the exercise pavilion. Hey, guys.
Maggie.
This is my sister, Rose.
Hello, Rose.
Pool aerobics.
Looking good, Mrs. Klein.
Right.
Hi, lady.
I call these guys the bench. They're all former lawyers.
Gentlemen. Hey. This is my sister Rose. She's a lawyer too from Philadelphia.
Which firm?
Actually, no firm right now. I'm just taking some time off.
Me too.
Ella's looking through an old photo album.
What are you doing, Ella?
Sit down, girls. I've got some things here I thought you might like to see.
Oh, God.
Look at you.
These are great.
Aww. Hey, look, our old living room. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Could Mom have been any prettier?
You look exactly like her, doesn't she?
I wonder if there's a picture of Honeybun.
That'd be pretty impossible.
Who's Honeybun?
Our dog.
You had a dog?
For one day.
The greatest day. Mom woke us up really early. It was a school day. It was still dark out.
It was winter.
And she put us in our best party dresses and dragged us down to the kitchen, which was...
a mess?
Covered every counter in fudge. She'd been up all night making it. We loaded it into the car, and she drove us right past school. Straight up to New York to Lord and Taylor's.
Which was closed because we got there at 8 in the morning.
That's right, and we hung out in the car.
Eating fudge for breakfast.
Mom had heard about Mrs. Fields, you know, the cookie lady? And she figured that her fudge was just as good as those cookies, so...
so she was gonna make a fortune.
When it finally opened, we went in and... oh, God. She was so beautiful. She was wearing this long, velvety gown.
At 8 in the morning.
Well, by this time it was 10. I guess she talked to some of the store people about the fudge, but I don't remember.
She spilled it all over the jewelry counter. There was a guy who just kind of looked at her.
I don't remember a guy.
There was a guy, and he looked at her.
Anyway, Mom said that we could each get one present, and you got...
a Nancy Drew book.
I asked for a puppy, and she got it. So cute. I named him Honeybun.
Why'd you only have it for one day?
I guess Dad thought it was a bad idea.
Why?
I don't know. I think he thought I was too young.
No, he was just mad.
About a dog?
Not about the whole day. He didn't have any idea where we were and school had called.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. He was really panicked and really, really mad at her. They had a huge fight.
I don't remember a fight.
You're in your room with a record playing.
I was?
Yeah. I put you in there and turned the music on so you wouldn't hear them.
Why? What were they saying?
He was saying she was unfit. That's the word he used. He said he was gonna send her away, put her away, something. He kept saying away.
And her?
There's nothing wrong with me. I'm a good mother. He'd say away, and she'd say, I'm their mother.
So he was going to have her hospitalized.
Yeah.
A tearful Maggie looks down at her mother's sad face, gazing out from a photo.
Oh, God, the poor guy. When exactly was this?
November 3rd.
No, it wasn't. It was like months before that.
It was 2 days. It was Tuesday, and she died that Thursday.
The sisters are in the bathroom getting ready for bed.
It was on purpose, wasn't it? The car, the
tree. Was it even raining that night? You were so little. How do you tell a 6-year-old her mom left by choice?
Maggie shakes her head sadly.
Who told you? No one.
Maggie opens her arms and they hug each other tightly.
Oh God, why can't I just stay mad at you? 'Cause we're a pair. Like Sadie and Cher. They split up. They remain quite close.
Looking suddenly stricken, Rose sits down on the toilet.
I'm not engaged anymore. Simon dumped me.
Maggie crouches down beside her.
Why are you still wearing the ring? I like how it feels.
Do you know his name?
Simon Stein.
Doctor?
Lawyer.
Oh, nice.
So you call information, Simon Stein in Philly. Get his number, make a call.
And say what? Hey, jerk, you broke my sister's heart. Come down here and make it right.
Maybe not that word for word.
He broke up with her. He's not gonna wanna come.
Well, you don't know that. Men can be very confused.
Yeah, too many options. Be an astronaut, be a playboy.
Often a man needs help making the right choice.
How am I supposed to help him? He doesn't even know me.
He knows your sister.
And loves her, or he wouldn't have proposed in the first place.
So?
So, what if he learned she was in trouble?
Or sick.
Or pregnant.
Tara!
Don't look so shocked, Miss comes to Florida to milk your grandmother for all she's worth. We know all about you.
One of the ladies gives Maggie a knowing look.
So, dog walking.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's not forever. It's just to keep me busy till I figure out my next move.
But when you figure it out, I hope you'll let me know. You know, down here, if you don't have successful grandchildren to brag about, you're screwed.
What are we reading today? A little Emily Dick, a little.
The professor's bed has been stripped and his belongings packed up into cardboard boxes. Maggie steps forward, looks down at a box of poetry books on the bed, then closes her eyes. A man picks up the professor's notes, then steps into the room.
Did they move him?
He died. This morning.
She sinks down onto the bed.
Bummer. Were you on duty?
No, I don't work here. This is his chart.
You're his grandson. The doctor.
Who are you?
Nobody. I just... I read to him sometimes.
You're Maggie.
He talked about me?
Just a little.
She looks down at the box of poetry books and smiles to herself. Now on a porch, Maggie's sitting at the end of a row of empty rocking chairs, looking out to sea, with a smile tugging at the corners of her mouth. She stands in the doorway of a function room and smiles wistfully at all the old couples, including Ella and Lewis, dancing on the floor. Rose is watching with a cocktail in her hand when Maggie joins her.
Hey.
Hey.
Who's Fred Astaire?
Lewis twirls Ella round.
That's Lewis.
You're a very good dancer, Lewis.
You know what else I'm good at?
He kisses her full on the lips, and Maggie and Rosie's jaws drop. Simon walks in.
Simon, what are you doing here?
I came as soon as your sister called.
Rose casts a sideways look at Maggie.
Should you be drinking?
Maggie grabs the cocktail. Maggie and Mrs. Lefkowitz walk hand in hand down the side of the room, then look out on Simon and Rose having what looks like an intense discussion on the porch.
So you're not pregnant?
No.
Never were.
Don't you think I would tell you if I were pregnant?
I don't know. You know, I hope so, but frankly, there were a lot of things you weren't telling me back there.
More ladies come to watch.
I promise, anything I kept from you had nothing to do with us. It was about Maggie. I was protecting her because that's what I do. You need to know this because if by some insane stroke of fate you do decide to marry me, she will make your life a living hell. You'll be begging me to kick her out, commit her, kill her, anything. And I'll want to, but I never will. Because without her, that don't make sense.
You look good. You look like you.
He wraps his arms around her, and they both smile contentedly.
I can't believe I'm in Florida.
The ladies grin.
You'll come back.
Yes, I promise.
You hold her to it.
I will.
Okay, don't buy a wedding dress. It's gonna be my gift to you.
No way. You'll have me in some hoochie mama monstrosity.
Look, I'm good at this. Trust me.
Are you sure this is the right place?
There's only one jerk hype in Philadelphia, ma'am.
A cab drops Ella and Lewis off. Then they enter the Jamaican Jerk Hut, where Rose and Simon had been on dates. Rose and Maggie's dad turns from the counter. Then he and Ella look at each other soberly.
Michael. Ella.
This is my friend Lewis Feldman. Lewis, this is Michael Feller, father of the bride.
Nice to meet you. Welcome. Rose will be so glad you're here.
Ella!
Oh, I'm so glad you're here.
Are you excited?
Yes.
Perfect.
She gets really mad if you leave the lid off the ice cream.
I know.
Don't even think about using her toothbrush.
No.
And she hates the look of raw chicken.
I know.
If she starts humming Habanagaya, she's like really, really mad. Like mad.
Maggie, I know. I know her.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I wore them in 1952. Old, but not to you. Right. And if I didn't give them to you, borrow. Mm-hmm. Look at the flowers. Bluebell.
Maggie, Rose, and Simon are chatting with a rabbi. When Sidel peels away from Michael's side, Ella sidles over to him.
They are so lovely. You should be very proud.
I'm afraid I can't take much credit.
Well, it's not always easy taking care of yourself and someone else at the same time.
I owe you an apology, Ella. Many, in fact.
I owe quite a few myself.
She links her arm through his.
Oh, yeah, just along here, down these stairs.
And will someone be escorting you?
My dad.
Yeah. Wearing Ella's borrowed cream open-toe heels with little bows on the front, Rose sets off down the aisle on her dad's arm. Her white dress has a three-quarter-length tulle skirt, a pink silk ribbon tied around her waist, and a delicate lace neckline. She smiles when she sees Simon up ahead at the altar, a makeshift gazebo that's being held up by his parents, Amy and Ella. After passing by all her happy guests, Rose looks affectionately at Maggie, who's standing at the side in a pink bridesmaid's dress.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Michael.
Clutching her exotic orange bouquet, Rose steps forward and she and Simon hug before approaching the rabbi hand in hand.
And now, a very special moment, young lady.
This isn't in the program, because it's a surprise. I surprise Rose a lot. Usually she hates it. I hope she likes this. It's a poem by E.E. Cummings. For you.
Maggie looks down at the poem in her hands.
I carry your heart with me. I carry it in my heart. I am never without it. Anywhere I go, you go, my dear. And whatever is done by only me is your doing, my darling. I fear no fate, for you are my fate, my sweet. I want no world, for beautiful, you are my world, my true. Here is the deepest secret no one knows. Here is the root of the root, and the bud of the bud, and the sky of the sky of a tree called life, which grows higher than the soul can hope or mind can hide. Is the wonder that's keeping the stars apart.
Simon stamps on a glass, then he and Rose share a kiss, with Maggie looking on happily. Night has fallen, and the newlyweds are dancing in the middle of a packed floor, with eyes only for each other. At the buffet table, Michael puts a skewer of barbecue jerk chicken on his plate, then moves along. Sidell steps forward, then surveys the fare uncertainly. Maggie and the pet salon owner are smiling and watching the dance floor. Ella twirls round under Lewis's arm, then they change partners. Rose and Simon are still looking into each other's eyes. As Michael helps himself to another dish from the buffet, Sidell comes over with her plate still empty. Without a word, he spoons something onto her plate.
You'll make sure Ella gets them. Mm. Of course. Seriously, you can't keep them.
I wouldn't do that.
With a distrusting look, Rose pulls Ella's shoes back towards her, then reaches for her bag.
He's kind of hot. Simon.
Rose fixes her with a steely stare.
Not funny yet.
Eventually, a smile breaks across Rose's face. Then she tosses something from a bowl at Maggie. They playfully slap each other across the table, then end up holding hands. They're still holding hands when Rose sets off in her going-away car with Simon. With her eyes full of tears, Rose looks over her shoulder and sees Maggie stepping out into the middle of the road to watch her go. She waves, and Maggie waves back.
Here is the deepest secret no one knows. Here is the root of the root, and the bud of the bud, and the sky of the sky of a tree called life, which grows higher than the soul can hope or mind can hide, is the wonder that's keeping the stars apart. I carry your heart. I
carry it in my heart.
Maggie smiles to herself, then turns her head and looks back towards the reception. With small skipping steps, she swings her arms in time to the music and heads back to the party, which is still going strong. Under a string of fairy lights, she joins the others up on the floor, dancing the night away.
Let them know say everything legitimate. Let them know everything composite. Right now, how you may I forget? Away.